Hey, I'm Obi, that's Ed, and we are drinking from the Garden Hose. Get us wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us on Google and Apple and Alexa. And of course, our website, gardenhose.vercel, where we'll look at your comments and then we'll use them to improve our show, I promise you. Ed, how are you?
I'm doing well, Obi. And what people don't know is that your internet sucks tonight. So this is our second time trying to kick the show off. I sneak attacked you with my opening last time, but I'll still go there. This should be our TikTok episode, Obi, because as everyone knows, well, you're going to be listening to this on Friday, but earlier in the week, we had a beautiful day, got to the 80s, people wearing shorts, t-shirts. But Obi, I'm looking at you right now. You are wearing a winter cap, stocking cap, and a bomber jacket to keep your ass warm on a warm day. What's going on there, Obi?
Well, the air conditioning, Ed, and this particular room I'm in is where all the air conditioning in my house goes. So I apparently am in the coldest house in the room. I'm looking at my thermostat. It's not even, it said 75. The air conditioning is just blowing into this room and I'm freezing. So I got my beanie and I think this jacket will be off before the day we're done filming it. You'll get to see my beautiful black t-shirt. But yeah, you know, we got the air conditioner on because it's 80 degrees out and that's what you do.
Obi looks like he's skiing, everybody. That's what you need to know. And as I told Obi earlier, I refuse to turn the air conditioner on because it's going to be like 58 degrees tomorrow and I'm not paying for air conditioning for one day. I know it costs the same amount, whether it's for one day or 10 days per day, but I'm not paying for it. So there's that. So I am wearing a short sleeve shirt, shorts, and I'm sweating my ass off. Because it's like 84 degrees in the room I'm recording this in right now.
Wonderful. So, you know, one of us is wrong. And I don't know which one it is, you. But, okay, great. Yeah.
Well, my wife thinks I'm wrong because she doesn't understand why she is hot right now.
Exactly.
I'm not turning the AC on.
And when you get a shitty night's sleep because she's kicking your ass, that's when you'll know you were the one who was wrong. I am going to get a good night's sleep because my wife is comfortable.
Yeah, you might be onto something. So, Obi, so instead of talking about how I'm not going to have a good night's sleep, I did have a topic that I wanted to bring up today, and we've discussed it before. It's this whole idea of being a beer snob. And as I get older, I get worse and worse at this. So I went to a Yankee game last week, and you'd think I'm going to complain that beers were, I don't know, $15 or whatever they were, or a hot dog was $14.99 or however much expensive stuff was there. Parking was $47.99. But that's actually not what I'm complaining about. What I'm complaining about is everything is like a Budweiser product. Bud Light, and don't even, I don't care if it's Bud Light, it's Budweiser. And then they got Blue Point, which is owned by Bud, but there's nothing good. It's all crap beer. The El Stella is crap beer. And I found myself only having one beer at the game because I just didn't like the beer.
Well, first thing I will say is I understand how maybe it's all Anheuser-Busch, which is actually owned by Stella Artois now. But that, which means there are still plenty of what I am sure are good beers in your mind available in the Stella Artois family of beers, because I do know they own a few microbrews.
There's a problem there. So one of the problems is once Budweiser takes over a microbrewery, the microbrewery is no longer really good anymore because it becomes mass produced. But that's not even the gist of it. At Yankee Stadium, where the convenient concession stands are, they just have Bud and Bud Light on tap. You have to search to find like one of those microbrews that is palpable. And then even then, it might be only one on the first level that sells the good beer, but you're sitting on the second level or you're sitting on the third level. And it's just, I don't know, just again, I'm old, cranky, and a beer snob.
No, I'm surprised because the stadium I go to the most is actually the arena, the Sixers. And there are, like you said, if you go to the quick, obvious kiosk, it's just on tap, American lager, light, unlight, whatever. But there is always multiple stands that are just beer stands that sell some microbrews, whether they are a Anheuser-Busch project, I don't even know, or actual somebody else, you know, they're either going to be Miller or Bud because they all own the stadium, but it's still their microbrew products that they've bought over the years, but they are set aside. And even in the arena I go to, there's actually a bar. All the Philadelphia fans are now laughing at me because they know exactly which one it is. But I believe that bar has a full bar. You're in the arena, full bar, full stock beer. So I'm sorry that the Yankees, the lawyers of baseball, the place where people could afford a $100 beer, can't provide you a decent drink.
Yeah, it's like I said, I'm not complaining about the price. I'm complaining about the selection. So I had one beer. I had a Brooklyn beer, Brooklyn Brewery, which is not owned by Anheuser-Busch, which was interesting that they were there, but it was one location only.
Yeah, and I'm surprised. I'm surprised because I have a friend who says when you go to a Yankee game, you're like going to a business meeting. And if you're at a business meeting, that's where you first start to try. Or let me try that beer I would never try because, you know, the boss is paying for it. And, oh, it turns out I like raspberry ales or whatever it is. I'm going to laugh at the Yankees for being the preps of baseball, but only serving the beer that they should have at the Mets games, you know, Rheingold's.
Yeah, it's a blue-collar beer selection there. The other interesting thing about Yankee Stadium this year, and I think this is a lot of stadiums are really trying to up their food game, right? So, yes, there's nothing better than a hot dog at a ball game, but not everybody eats hot dogs. So they're really up in their food game. And if you go on their website, you know, before the game to find out, you know, like what's new this year, there's a whole section on they up their food options. And they even, it's not a map, but they list like where all the different food is located so that you can find it. The problem is like, so let's say you want a cheesesteak, and I understand it's not Philadelphia, so there's not cheesesteaks everywhere, but let's say you want cheesesteak. It's only located behind section 313 and 127. It's a big stadium. Those are three levels apart on opposite sides of the stadium. So if you find something on that webpage that you want, you're going to have to like miss, I don't know, three innings going to get it. So it just seems interesting. They're offering the food selections, but it's inconvenient. So I don't know. Today's ball game viewing is just getting complicated. Cracker Jacks and dogs should all it should be, right?
Well, yeah, but if you're only getting Cracker Jack and dogs, then you're also only getting Budweiser.
A great point.
So, yeah. I am genuinely surprised that today's day and age that the beer selection is that poor. I know when we'll see what some of our other fans have to say about what they're getting at the various arenas they're going to, whether they're going there for sporting events or musical events or whatever. But, and as you say, one of the biggest problems with any sports is if you got to get up to leave the game to get your food and or beer, that's a problem all to itself.
So although there's a new function at Yankee Stadium, which I was blown away by. I didn't use it, but you can use Uber Eats in the stadium to order food from the concession stand. Now they won't deliver it to you, but when you go to the concession stand, there's a special like line just for Uber Eats. So like you order Uber Eats at section 219, you order it, and then you go up to section 219, and boom, you go to Uber Eats line, and your food's waiting for you.
So, per section. So, it's not getting...
Well, no, so let's say I looked at that map, and I saw, like, the best food is in section 127, and I'm not anywhere near it. I could order on Uber Eats at section 127, then go walk there and pick it up.
Okay. All right.
So, when you go on the Uber Eats app, and you're in the stadium, I guess it knows you're in the stadium, you pick what section you want to order from. And then, and then it knows what food is there, and you pick the food, and you pay for it on the app, and then you go pick it up.
That's almost right where they should be. It's like, can you at least give each section a little Uber Eats pickup stand? So the guy takes it from the Uber Eats and then delivers it to section 117, and then you get on the 117 line, pick up your stuff. So then a lot less game being missed.
Yeah. Well, shouldn't they just let some DoorDashers and Uber Eats drivers into the stadium for free and let them deliver shit all night long?
That would get, to me, that is the absolute thing they should be doing. But let's just at least get putting the food in the right section first.
Okay. I think it would be great if some DoorDash guy could just bring your food to your seat.
Or, you know, they can just license the software in a way where they could hire their own people doing it.
You know, well, that's like, true too. That's true too.
You are the New York Yankees. Okay.
Any ball club should be able to do it for what they charge these days and what they're paying the ball players, right? They should all be able to do it. But anyway, I think there's a lot of great technology advances with the stadium experience, but the beer still sucks.
Well, that's a shame. So, Ed, we asked a question, and it was one of those things where we didn't even remotely disagree. Like, we didn't understand why vinyl was making a comeback. So, our friend and loyal listener, a dingo 8-year-old baby, listened, and apparently he has a incredibly large collection of vinyl. I don't know if you can see the picture that he shared with me to share with you.
That's a lot of albums.
He said the Go-Go's picture was not staged for you, but it is there. But, you know, he had several comments and discussion with me around why vinyl was making a comeback. And what surprised me the most, because he is someone who has a very vast musical background. His brother is a professional musician who pays the bills by playing music. The fact that it sounded better was pretty low on his list of things that he went with. What he kind of went with is, one, you know, that for starter younger, as in younger formed bands, newer bands, bands with larger collections that just got famous later, a lot of their music from their earlier days isn't necessarily available on these streaming services. So they have to sell it via actual media. Also, just the old school process of being hanging out with people and just going through the record selection, finding an album that's been curated by a band and saying, this is the album we're going to listen to, still has a value in his circle of friends. So, and then the third thing is, as we've seen as some digital platforms have merged, we haven't seen it in music, but we have seen it in video, is you think you bought it, you think you own it, and then that platform goes away and you don't. So you actually have ownership of said piece of music. So those were some of the things that he pointed out to me that really drove it. He couldn't quite explain to me why it's vinyl and not CD. I'm not sure if he was fully understanding my text messages or had a solid answer for why it's vinyl and not CDs that this is happening with, other than some sort of nostalgia. But yeah. So there was a lot of comments back and forth on that. This is where this is coming from. So, some of which I thought was good points.
Yeah, so it's interesting points. I think one point I will say that I, in doing research after, because we don't prepare, so I did the research after.
This is the guy who told us not to prepare, by the way. He said, you guys are better when you don't prepare.
Right, so I didn't prepare, but I did, other than I saw the snapshot of the sales graph. But I did do some research after the podcast, and scientifically proven, the sound is not better on an album. It's actually better on an MP3 or CD, and it's just because of the way it's mastered, recorded. It's just scientifically proven it's a better recording into an MP3 or CD. So it's interesting. Anybody who would tell you it sounds better is technically full of shit, I guess, right? Scientifically speaking. So it's interesting that our feedback didn't say it sounded better. But I also saw some other feedback on our website that they were talking about why vinyl was so important was the artwork, because it's a larger format than a CD. Going back to the CD, CD was pretty small. And if you remember, the transition from an album to CDs kind of sucked, because, especially as an old guy now, I could never read any of the liner notes in a CD. But you could read them in an album because it was larger, right?
Well, I would disagree with you. It was worse than that. The transition was from the album to the tape.
Well, yeah.
The
well,
CD,
then they didn't even
the
try
CD
to.
was like the CD was like a breath of fresh air. It was so big.
Well, in the cassette, they didn't even put album liner notes in there, right? It was
Right,
just
right.
like the back of the front of the cassette was blank. You're like, wait, where's the lyrics, right? So,
Right.
I think there's that. I think people enjoy, they really do enjoy the experience of looking at the album, opening it up and reading. I mean, let's face it, if you're going to get Queen, Fat Bottom Girls, that album, I mean, you want the album so you can get the poster of all those naked girls on the bike. Like, it just doesn't come across digitally or even in the CD. So I think there is something to that. One thing, I'm not going to call BS on it, but what he says about the communal aspect of being friends and thumbing through albums and picking albums out, I won't call BS on that because that is real. I've had number of experiences in my lifetime, usually with CDs, where you find somebody's CD collection and you're with some buddies and you just start going through them and you start picking out various songs from the album. You can't really do that in a digital format. The problem is, other than your friend who put that picture there, not too many friends have that many vinyl anymore that you could actually have that experience with, right? But if you're at an album, if you're at a record store, or if you're at a radio station, you could have that experience. So I do agree, like, there's something about going through and picking out songs from albums with your buddies that you don't get in the digital experience. Maybe because only one person has the phone. Not really sure.
So it's interesting. So the things you said were all additional things he had mentioned. Artwork was another thing that he had mentioned along the way. And then the other thing he mentioned about was record stores. That also, part of the experience is the record store experience, which I don't know if you remember when a new record would drop, going to Tower Records. And just, you got to get that record, and then you had to get the other records. And then all of a sudden you started learning where all the local record stores were. Like you said, like he walks in, he knows the guy who works at the record store. Like I did too back in the day. I knew the guy who worked at the, we had like three great ones on campus at the time. You went in, you talk, oh, you should pick up this album that you've never heard of. That's like, you know, you, and now you're like, why? You know, where did this album even come from? Some guy at a record store suggested it. And, you know, maybe it was good, maybe it wasn't. But that's the other thing. A lot of it, again, that comes back to community. And then the...
Yeah, I think you get that with CD. We got that with CDs as well.
Yes, yeah. And like I said, the one thing you brought up about the art is the big one, I think, that's carrying the records over the CDs, because there wasn't a lot he said that fully convinced me of the CD record conversation. Again, it was a text message conversation. Not everything comes across, but he did mention the art on the records and how, you know, it becomes an art piece. And then when a band drops five different albums, five different colors, if you're a collector, well, then you want five colors. It's like you want five Funko Pops.
Yeah, I still don't think people should be collecting any of that shit, personally.
Well, that's kind of old and grumpy.
I mean, I get the nostalgia. I get all of the things that we just talked about with the albums. I just don't know why you would invest money in that anymore. I get it. I get it why I'm nostalgic about it. I get it why I remember those days, but I'm sorry. I'm going digital. I'm just not going back. I'm going forward.
Well, I'm with you. What I am not doing is, as we do, sometimes you look side-eyed like that, explain that. And there's no explanation. I can't put myself in that spot. I today cannot physically put myself in the spot where I'm like, you know what I want to put my money in is having the collection of records. Because I'm not having people over in that kind of way anymore. you know, do not come to my house to go through my record collection and pick a song.
But are you allowed? But you're allowed to come to your house if you're in a bus and you want to see where your dad used to live.
But you got to leave before you look at the records.
Okay, as long as there's a rule. Plus, yeah. Your family's going to have the samurai sword just in case you get out of line.
That's right. You know, and you know, I might have a collection of samurai swords you might want to go through and come over and talk about your different weapons of bladed weapons. So maybe there's a conversation to have, or you know, what level of sword play you're good at. So you know. Different
sword
thing.
Sword play. Never even knew that was a thing until you just said it.
Yeah, you did.
Well, different kind of sword, maybe.
Well, yeah, like I said, you knew.
So, Obi, there was also feedback about you waxing your mustache.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
They love it, huh?
I'm not so sure the person loved it. Unfortunately, they actually really didn't give a opinion on it, which is disappointing to me. But they acknowledged that they heard it on the episode enough that they wrote a comment about it. So just letting you know that people are writing about you waxing your mustache. Which, okay, by the way, everybody, it must be the hot weather that melted the wax, because Obi's mustache is not waxed right now.
It's not twirled because it's a little short, but
it's not Raleigh fingers.
It's not Raleigh fingers, but it is actually it is waxed. I waxed it last night because I went to the office today.
Okay.
Yes, right. I wax it on office days, and then if I'm going out somewhere special with my wife.
You know, that is something I'd really love some feedback on. How many people have ever said, going to the office tomorrow, got to get up a little extra early because I got to wax the mustache?
Nope. Did not get up early. Waxed it last night.
So you can wax the mustache before bed and it's still good to go in the morning.
Then you just quickly comb it. Like I stew my whole shaving.
This is like a whole other topic.
I do the whole shaving routine the night before.
Okay, so I'm not sure we want to go there in this episode, but this leads me down to the whole idea of those who shower the night before or those who shower the morning of.
I have gone back and forth throughout my life. So,
really?
Yeah. I've gone back and forth throughout my life. And
I think people who shower the night before, and my wife is one of them, are somewhat psycho.
I shower the night before. When I, pre-COVID, I was a morning of person because I went to work every day. And the routine, I didn't go to work every day. That's not true. I went to work three times. I had flexibility and went to work a lot more often and didn't know if I was going to go to work necessarily until I woke up in the morning. And so waking up, showering was part of waking up. Now I know what days I'm going to the office. I don't want to wake up at a different time on the mornings I go to the office. So I have to shower the night before because I don't want to change my wake up time. That's all it's about for me. I used to. Okay. Also, this particular morning, I got up particularly early because I had to take my son to work. So that was an additional reason to not have to want to push in the morning.
Interesting. That's an interesting theory. So I'd love to hear from people who shower the night before. I've called you a psycho. I'm on record calling those people psychos. I'd love to understand why they think that that's a better option than showering in the morning.
I'd like to understand why you think they're psychos, because let's be completely honest. The fact that your wife showers the night before benefits you because you're not fighting for the shower in the morning. Almost say that a married couple, you have to have a shower the night before and a shower the morning of. You cannot have, two morning of showers. You could have two night before showers.
No, you can definitely have two morning of, because if you have to be at the office at different times, I had a commute, right? So I was leaving at 6 a.m. to get to work. I was showering at 5:30 in the morning. So trust me, my wife was not getting in the shower at 5:30 in the morning. So that wasn't an issue. I think it's a psycho because I think at the end of the day, you can get dirty while you're sleeping. I just think, has anybody never sweat during the night? No, that's not true, right? And I just think that you're freshest in the morning. It wakes you up. You're clean for the day. You put a fresh coat of deodorant on. I think you're good to go. So that's why I think people, the other reason, Obi, is if you haven't learned by now and our listeners haven't learned by now, I'm always right. So if I shower in the morning, of course people who don't shower like me are psychos.
I think there's a large space between your right that showering in the morning is a better idea and the person who doesn't shower in the morning is a psycho. It's a lot of space between those two. Wrong to psycho. Big gap.
It's about 8 hours. It's about an 8 hour gap.
You're making me want to totally defend the night before showers, get up on a hill and defend them. But I don't want to because I go back and forth. But still, I think psycho is a very strong word. And I'm glad we're including your wife in this category because, you know, you have to now apparently live with a psycho who is definitely going to be sweating tonight because your air conditioner isn't on. So maybe if you would put your air conditioner on, your wife wouldn't be such a psycho because she wouldn't sweat at night.
Yeah, but she couldn't.
You guys should all see him thinking right now. That was a real TikTok moment. The way your eyes rolled back in your head to figure out what to say.
Well, I think at the end of the day, we just got to be fortunate, I have to be fortunate that my wife doesn't listen to this podcast.
But Sam has listened.
That's true. But I don't think she's also a psycho. She showers at night, too. The problem is that everybody in my house showers at night except me. They're all psychos.
Even Alex.
Yeah.
Nighttime?
Oh, Alex is the worst. Do you know why she's the worst?
She showers before like dinner.
No, she'll shower at 11 o'clock at night when she should be going to bed. I'm asleep. I don't even know she takes a shower at night because I'm asleep when she takes a shower. That's next level psycho.
Yeah, I'm the only one who showers in the morning, I think.
So if we took a poll, your family might think you're a psycho for showering at night.
No, I'm the only one who showers in the morning when there's showering in the morning that goes on.
So what are you trying to tell me, that maybe I'm the only person in America now that showers in the morning?
No. I'm saying I go back and forth. I prefer the morning, but I can make reasons to shower at night, and then I do. I do prefer the morning because I prefer the waking. I prefer getting a cup of coffee, finishing a cup of coffee, taking a shower, having a second cup of coffee while getting dressed and then going to the office. Like that, if I have to go to the office, would be my preferred. But due to timing issues and not wanting to change my wake up time, I can't always do that.
Okay. All right.
So I would prefer the morning shower.
But I think we're going to have a good poll for this episode, because I really am interested on the morning or the evening shower.
Yes, and a legit poll, like not with one of your crazy, like, it's always right as an answer, but like, you know, A and B.
Well, I mean, I think Ed's Always Right is a legitimate answer, by the way, but okay. I'll try my best to make sure this poll is a little more even.
That would be good, because then the poll won't suck. The charm is that we suck. I'm Obi. That's Ed. Catch us in a couple of weeks on Drinking from the Garden Hose.